Well, we'll welcome each one this morning again and greet each one in the name of Jesus. What a privilege we have to be here and to worship together. My wife and I had a blessing last night of being in a little gathering where about mission work, and my mind keeps going back to a lot of things I heard, so forgive me if I make reference to some of the things we heard last night, but Timothy just talked about the great needs for the Word of God in the world, and one little thing we heard last night was, if you know the caste system in India, there's, I think, 3 or 4 layers, but there's the Dalits, if you've heard or read about them, and they're not even in the caste system, they're the underdogs, they're lower than the caste system, and they don't even know, but there's at least 300 million Dalits in India. If you take all the population of North America and Europe together, there's still less people in our countries than there is Dalits in India. And yet they just can't keep up. There's such a move of God, a hunger for God. Those people are so oppressed and poor and hopeless. And yet through different ways, the light of the gospel is coming to them, and it's just a miracle what God's doing there. And they're just praying for workers and for tracts and different means, and it's just a real miracle what God is doing. The sovereign God that wants to work in your heart and my heart this morning, and appreciate the scriptures that we heard from James and Hebrews and already, and it is God that worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And Job said, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as pure gold. And that's the sovereign God that knows what is best for each one of us this morning as individuals. And so we want to greet you in the name of Jesus, the Word of God, the Son of God, who is the way to the Father this morning. And I say, what a privilege we have of gathering this morning to hear the Word of God. Many in this world don't have, so. Yeah, I guess I'm like my son. I don't come with any doctrinal teaching this morning. It's just a simple word of God. And thinking of food, you know, I enjoy soup just as good as anything else. And just to have warm soup poured out in a bowl. And that meets my need. And that's all I can do this morning is don't listen to my words. I just want to open the word of God and share a few little truths there, and it's God that will minister unto you. And there's many individuals here this morning, and that same word can, to one, it might be a gentle, comforting hand on your heart, on your life, to minister some encouragement. To another, it might be like that sword that has to cut off something, that, or a hammer that has to hammer away, to drive something deep into us. The same word can come in many ways to us. And that's a miracle, the word of God. And it can speak to us as individuals. So I just trust that I can share something this morning, some simple truth. And it's a simple message. It's, I guess we'll call it choices. It's something we all face. And you all made choices this morning. We don't even think about it. But we all make choices. And for me, I didn't even have to think. It was Sunday morning and I'm going to come to Hessen. And but I remember there was a time where, went through a time where it was a big choice. We prayed and wasn't sure what the right thing to do. And if that's the way it is for some here this morning. And choices are very serious. They're very sobering, because sometimes even the little choices, you know, it sets a direction. It speaks of what's in our heart, and it has influence, and it sets a direction, and it can even determine where we're going to spend eternity. It can have eternal influences on our hearts and minds. So as we go through, I'm going to talk about different scriptures again this morning. May the Word of God speak to you as individuals, might be a little practical in some areas, But again, don't take it as my word. Let the word of God speak to us. Just one little story came to my mind. We heard last night, there's a man in, I'm not sure, in Asia someplace, and his name was Simon, son of John, I think was his name. Almost the same as in the Bible. That was his name. And I'm not sure all the details, but he went to a church, and the preacher spoke about Jesus, saying, "Simon, son of Jonas, feed my sheep." And he was offended, and he never went back to that church again. But he tried another church, and the same text came out that morning. And I'm sure nobody else in this service maybe fully understood. It didn't speak to them as it did to this man. And then he couldn't receive that. And sometime later, he went to a way off in a different area. And he went to another church. And for the third time, that same text was used. And I'm sure the pastor, whoever was speaking, didn't even realize what he was saying, but at least didn't know who it's going to speak to or how it's going to speak. But anyway, this man, he realized God was calling him, and he responded to that call. And today, he's a very strong leader, a man that's being used of God in Asia, and just how God can speak to us if we let him. So that's a choice, you know, why you're here this morning. And there's truths that we sang in the songs this morning. The word of God was already read, different portions from Psalms and Hebrews and James and different portions, Romans. And, you know, whether we really face a reality or not, we're making little choices. Are we going to think on that word? Are we going to let it speak to us? Or do we just carry on? So I just want to challenge us this morning and encourage us to the choices that we're making. And again, we're thankful that we have the Word of God, that we have it before us. We can read it in our homes. We can read it here publicly this morning. And last night we heard of people that aren't even allowed to be Christians in some countries. There's different countries in this world today that you cannot even let people know that you're a Christian. You can never carry the Word of God. You just call for jail sentence and sometimes even death or much persecution. But here we are so privileged to have the Word of God. And in Psalms, it talks about the Word of God being a light. And how true that is. If you can imagine being out in the dark. I remember once we were camping and we didn't have a light. And it got dark. And you can hardly see the trees, or you don't know what you're walking over. And you just have to tread so softly and gently, because you're lost. You hardly know where you are. And just a little light would have made the difference there. But the Word of God is a light to our path. And what a blessing it is to open the Word of God and let it speak to us, let it show us the way in our choices, in our decisions in life. So we're going to look at the Word of God this morning, and I think someone mentioned Proverbs already, but Proverbs 2, and I want to say this again, I've said it before, but especially for young people, the Proverbs has much wisdom and instruction, and if we want to be spared a lot of pain and suffering and misery in life, you know, we'll take heed, especially the Proverbs, but to all the Word of God, but it's so practical, even in practical little areas of life. But in Proverbs chapter 2, 5 to 9, it says, "Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." So here it's encouraging us to seek after wisdom and instruction and understanding, and that is from the Lord. We'll find the knowledge of God, the ways of God, the heart of God. And judgment is we need judgment in decisions. Judgment is to make a decision. And we face things in life that we're going to make choices on. And we need the light of God's word. We need divine light, divine wisdom, and divine knowledge to direct us to make the right choices, the right decisions. And if we seek for it and hunger and thirst after it, God will give us wisdom and instruction. He'll give us that sound judgment, that spiritual judgment, how to choose the right path. In Proverbs 4, at the end there, verse 20, it says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." So a wise person will meditate and read those words and think on them. And it says there, ponder the path of thy feet. What direction are we going? When we make choices, you know, what direction is it taking us? Is it drawing us closer to God, or taking us closer to the world, closer to our own carnal desires and our will? So may we pursue after the wisdom that God wants to give us, that we can walk wisely and in this confusing world that we live in. Again, the Word of God has many examples. I think that was already mentioned this morning. 1 Corinthians 10. These examples, even from the Old Testament, how God dealt with people that He chose. He called them out of their heathen settings. And He wanted to walk with them and be their God. He wanted them to be His people, His holy nation. And there's so many truths, so many examples there that are for us. And 1 Corinthians 10, 5 to 12, it refers back to that. It says, "But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, neither be ye idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." So this is history. This is stories that actually happened to men and women. And they're recorded here for our examples. And we can learn, we can benefit a lot from the mistakes and from the wise choices of others. So if we're wise, we're going to listen to others. And that can come right down in history to people around about us today. But we can learn from others and take heed to how others made choices and decisions in life. And basically these people, they face the same deep choices that we face. They face basic temptations in life and the same struggles that we face. And how they face them can be a blessing to us today. Well, we think of Eve. That's the first written example of one that made a choice. And both Adam and Eve, they both made choices there. And but they chose, they leaned on their own understanding, and it made sense to them. They knew truth, but the scriptures tell us Eve was deceived. And they just lean on the circumstances that were there and what Satan told them. And it made sense to them. It sounded good. It looked good. So Eve made a decision for the temple. And we know, of course, the results of that. And so we face some of those things, same things today, as I say. Basically the same choices, the same attacks of Satan come on us. And in John, he says, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So that's basically that conflict, that struggle that we all face. We're in the world, yet we're not of it. We're chosen to be sons of God. What a privilege, what a blessing. And those influences of the world, even though we become new creatures in Christ Jesus, there's still that warfare. We still need to reckon the flesh dead and deny those desires, those temptations that come to God's children as well as the people of the world. But thank the Lord, there is a way of escape. There's victory. We don't have to be into bondage to those things. And that's a broad way. That's a natural way. That's a tendency we all tend to go. We all have failed in our choices sometimes. We've gone the easy way. And that's a broad way that Jesus talks about. And that's a natural way of man. We tend to go that way. And that's why we need to walk in the light of the Word of God. We need God's Holy Spirit to direct us and to guide us. And that's, I think, one way too why we need to commit our day unto the Lord, our ways, that they be established by the Lord, that God would keep us from temptation, from making those, going the way of the flesh. And even Paul, you know, when he met Jesus, his response was, "What wilt thou have me to do?" He made a choice to yield to God. And he gave his life for Christ. A man that so zealously and wholeheartedly labored for the church, for God, and for the people of God, for the church of Christ. And yet he had to, he says, bring his body under subjection. He had to choose to suffer and deny the flesh. And there's many other examples. I think of Daniel. We all know Daniel as a young man, how he purposed in his heart not to be defiled with the king's meat and with the ways of the world. And he denied that. He chose to not follow that. And we know how God blessed him and brought him into special favor with God. God revealed much wisdom and much truth to Daniel. And there's so many more examples there. You know, thinking of Joseph, just one man there. Joseph was true. He made many choices. And it seemed he was all alone there in Egypt. You know, what did it matter if he wavered a little bit? But no, he had the fear of God in his heart and life. He chose to please God. And God blessed him and honored him for it. And Moses and many more men in the Old Testament. Okay, one example was Esau, and we're going back to Genesis 25. This is written for our admonition too. There's many men that chose wisely. But here's an example of one man that he was confronted with a choice. And he didn't realize at the time. He wasn't aware at the time. He, Proverbs talks about being blind and deceived, and just going with what we feel. It seems Esau was just looking at the temple. He had no spiritual desire there for God's blessing on his life. And we'll read a few verses in Genesis 25, 29. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point of to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. So he made a choice, but it seems that in his life, Esau didn't have that fear of God in his heart and life, that desire to please God. And he came to this moment where the flesh was weak, he was tired, he was weary, and I don't believe he was going to die, but Satan again comes and takes advantage of the circumstances, and he smelt this good food that Jacob had made, and he couldn't resist. And so it is today, you know, how many times we're willing to sell our birthright for just a moment's pleasure. And for Esau, how sad this was. It was an eternal, there was eternal consequences for the decision that he made there, just for a moment's pleasure. And I'm sure we've all heard accounts of people that regretted little decisions they made. It seemed so easy at the time. It seemed such a little thing. But the consequences of it were eternal, were so long-lasting, and the cost was so great. We turn back to Hebrews 12 again. The New Testament refers back to Esau. God is merciful, and it's not for me or us to say when God cuts us off. God is willing to forgive and to take us back. But there's still reaping. There's still consequences. In the life of Esau, he couldn't undo his mistakes. He went to that point of no return. And in Hebrews 12, verse 15 and 16, it warns us. He says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. So he was sorry, but it was too late. He had made a decision that couldn't be reversed. He had sold his birthright to his brother Jacob. All right, back in the Old Testament again, in Deuteronomy 30, Moses, that man of God that was chosen for that great calling to lead the people of God, there's a lot of good reading in the book of Deuteronomy. And near the end of Moses' life, they'd wandered for years in the wilderness, and God tempted them to prove them, and so often they failed. They walked by sight. They made unwise choices. They chose the temporal. They didn't look beyond, like in Hebrews 12 there, Jesus, who endured the cross because he looked beyond. And but the children of Israel, they didn't have that faith. Generally, they were very short-sighted. But here, Moses is challenging them in chapter 30, in verse 19. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, both thou and thy seed, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. So they didn't have the written word of God, but God spoke through men. In this case, it was Moses. He was the spokesman. He was the mouthpiece of God to the children of Israel there. And he was speaking to them there as an old man and challenging them, just reminding them again that it was up to them, that there's a choice of life and death. And basically, we all have that choice before us. God doesn't force us. God allows us to make that choice. And yet he's patient. He draws us. He calls us. He does not give up on us right away. But we can go the path of life or the path of death. The path of blessing and the path of cursing. He makes that a lot clearer in another portion there, but basically it's the two ways, the upward road and the downward road. And it's not just for us, it's for our seed also, for our children. It affects the generations to come. So that's why it's very serious, the choices we make in our life. Sometimes it's long-term effects. Joshua did the same thing. I think it was just about 20 years later, in Joshua 24. This time they crossed over. And Joshua was a very good leader, a very strong leader. He challenged the people again that they had to make their decision who they're going to follow. In chapter 24, verse 14, I'm going to break in there, and it's, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We know how the people, in their minds, yeah, they want to serve God. They said, "We will." But how soon they again fell away and chose the temple, chose their own lusts and desires. So again, just like Joshua there presented that decision to the children of Israel. So God speaks to us today. "Choose you this day whom ye will serve." And we won't go into much, but it talks about the gods of their fathers and the gods of the Amorites there, on one side of the flood or the other side of Jordan there. There's many gods we can serve. Not just the gods of this world, but maybe some of the gods that in our homes, in our families, that we can put ahead of God. God is a jealous God. We need to serve him wholly and completely. Other good things can be set up as gods in our lives. So, all right, Jesus himself, he says he wants us to choose the straight and narrow path too. And when he's on earth, we have the Gospels that give so many accounts of him encouraging us to take up the cross and follow him, to deny self and to choose a way of life, that straight and narrow way. Jesus said his words were hard to receive. It wasn't easy. He even said that to that one young man, he told him to sell all that he had. So his words weren't easy. Sometimes he said that we're to forsake father and mother, house and lands and everything for the gospel's sake. It's not always an easy choice, but it's a path that leads to life in the end. We heard about Romans 12 just a week or two ago, and Paul, many times he says, "I beseech you, I beg of you, to walk worthy." In 12 there he says to Romans 12, how's that start now? "I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God." So this is a choice that it's not just a one-time choice. Every day, every week, we need to make choices which way we're going to go, what direction we're going to take, who we're going to serve. And Paul made it clear too. He taught a lot. He laid the foundation. Then he did a lot of practical teaching presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. So our very lives, that's a challenge for us. Who do we serve day by day? When we make our choices, who are we really serving? Are we willing to be that living sacrifice? So it's an ongoing choosing, and it's a continual thing. It's not a one-time effort, one-time choice. It's an ongoing thing. But God gives help. There's many helps from the Word of God. We talked about the Word being a light, and He gives wisdom, gives light and discernment. So that's why we need to take time to know the Word of God, to read the Word of God. And there's many people in the world today that don't have the Word of God written in their language, or they don't have available. And we're so blessed. We can read it. We've heard it read. We can read it right through the whole Word of God. And there's so much instruction, so much food for our souls there from the living Word of God, from the written scriptures, as the Holy Spirit makes them real and spiritual food to us. So we need to choose to take time to read and to hear and to meditate, to think on the Word of God, the scriptures that He has for us. And prayer. And that takes effort, to choose to pray. And I'm going to admit it, and I think it takes diligence to really to have that prayerful attitude and to take time to pray, to seek God, to ask God for wisdom and direction, that we choose wisely, that we avoid the pitfalls and the snares of making wrong choices and decisions. And at this organization where we were last night, they put a lot of emphasis on prayer. And it began years ago through prayer meetings in a home. And it's developed into a great ministry. But today they put a lot of emphasis on prayer. That's their foundation. And different mornings they gather for prayer. And then every Tuesday night, it began on Tuesday night, so they continue that tradition. Every Tuesday night, they have a two-hour prayer meeting, and even the children come, and they encourage the children to pray, too. It's never been there yet, but it's a real blessing as everyone joins together in prayer. And then one Friday a month, they gather around 6 o'clock, and they pray till about midnight. And we met a very interesting young man last night there, and he's in the discipleship course there, a very rigid program they have. And he's a trophy of God's grace. He still has tattoos and holes in his ears where he used to have obviously big earrings. But God has delivered him from that, and he wants to come visit us sometime. But he was just saying about prayer. He says, how would you spend 6 hours praying? But he says, it's a blessing. It's a real privilege to gather every month to pray for 5 or 6 hours. But just the value of prayer in their hearts and lives. And we need to encourage that and spend time, whether alone or as we come as a church. Jesus says, my house should be called a house of prayer. So it's a prayerful attitude too, but also times that we collectively pray together or in our closets to seek God, to pray to God. That is our strength. That is our life as we abide in Him, and He gives us direction and discernment to His will and how to make wise choices. And another way is I have here submission to the body. We believe, we've had some Bible studies on that, the authority of the church and the body of Christ. And there's real blessing in the body. And as we are part of a body, as we submit to a body, As we admonish one another and we receive admonishment, encouragement, it gives safety and protection, and sometimes, so often, our brothers or sisters see things different than we do. And there's a blessing in submitting to that instruction, that advice, that encouragement to make wise decisions, to make wise choices that are for long-term good. At the time, some of those things look big and we don't know which way to go. But sometimes God answers through our brothers, through the church. And other authority too. We've got governmental authority we need to come under. There's parents. There's other authority too in our lives that God uses sometimes to help us to make the wise choices. Otherwise we'd soon become lawless, without law, and make foolish decisions and choices. I thought we'd touch on a few areas that we face in choices. One would be finances. And what do we do with our finances? We can think, well, that's my money. I earned it. But are we faithful in that which is least? And again, last night, we heard that for half a cent, for half of a penny, we'll send a tract delivered to people in Asia and some of these countries. And over there, it's not like here. We know if you go into the town or you offer people tracts, a lot of people aren't even interested, or if they take them, they soon just drop them. The odd person reads them. But in a lot of those countries, they're pretty sure that for every tract, there's 10 people read one tract. That's a very cheap method of sharing the gospel. So that's only a penny. We think, well, what's a penny? You know, we don't, if we're offered a penny change, we somebody don't even take it. But just a penny. Or, you know, a cup of coffee or ice cream cone. It's only a few cents here and there, but sometimes, how do we use our little bit of money? And that can go in major other things too. Our vehicles we buy, our so many practical areas. We won't go into those areas, but how we spend our finances. And there's a man there we met last night too. I just bring this in as an example. He's an older man. He lost his wife, and there's another lady there with him that lost her husband, so they were friends. And he goes to markets. He did this most of his life. He grew vegetables, but now he doesn't do that. He just does maple syrup and honey and a few vegetables and just a few things, but he goes to four markets. He's very busy. But afterwards, this lady that was with him, she told us, this man gives 100%. He has his pension and some savings, so he doesn't need extra income. But 100% of what he makes at the markets, he sends for this organization, for the gospel around the world. And so every person has to make their own decisions, what they do with their money. But it's a good to teach our children when they're young, they're willing to share their money. That's just one thing we can share, but little as much when God is in it. God can take the little pennies. That's two mites that widow lady put in that, gave it to the Lord, that offering there. More than the Pharisees were given. But God saw that. God acknowledged and blessed that. The two mites. So may God help us in our choices with our finances, our money, how we spend our money. And okay, clothes. That's a pretty practical area. But our clothes speak something. Why we wear the clothes we wear. And two people can be dressed the same way, but one is doing it out of rebellion or trying to say something. The other person is innocent. Maybe they're doing it innocently. But even the clothes, just our way of life, it our choices. Why do we want this? Why do we want that? Why don't we want it? And our time goes with finances, but our time, you know, it's a challenge that we're all so busy with our own little worlds, but are you willing to help others, willing to take time to come on time, to when we gather here in the building or for other meetings, whatever it might be, do we take time to serve God in these areas? Take time for Bible reading and prayer. We could go back to that too. Using our time, choices in our time, you know. Even getting up, it's nice just to stay in the bed sometimes, but a little longer, but you rise to do something more profitable. Are willing to deny yourself. In our vocation, our work that we choose, you know, sometimes we just kind of slide into a way of work. But it's very important for young people when they have a decision, what their direction in life is. And I know there's people here that have changed courses in life, changed direction. But it's very important, the choice of our vocation. You know, again, two people can be doing the same thing. And one is doing it as the Lord, and the other is doing it selfishly. And it doesn't matter if it's being a ditch digger or a doctor. We can do both, the glory of God. So God is interested in those things. It's very important, our choices, our work, you know, what job we're going to take. It's amazing to see how God works through those areas too. So we need to commit that to God and to wisely make those decisions. Marriage is just one other area that's a very important step. You know, the world takes that so lightly today. They just follow the easy way and then it's so easy to get out of it. But we need the fear of God as we face marriage, and it's a real blessing when God's blessing is upon it. And may we consider the choices we make even before that lead up to marriage, the little decisions in life that lead to marriage, so that we don't regret things afterwards. And the friends we associate with, who we spend our time with. You know, we all have, it's easier to have certain friends, certain people you spend more time with. But is it just for our own good? Is it just to have more fun? Or is it, do our friends really encourage us? And it works two ways. We need to be encouraging our friends. Are we a blessing? Are we building up one another? Are we admonishing and encouraging one another? The friends we spend time with, the friends we work with. And that can have a lot of far-reaching effects. The friends that we choose, the friends that we spend time with in our day-to-day life. And then I have our attitude towards authority. Again, that's not just in our homes, not just in church. It can go out into the government and building inspectors and police and health inspectors. Depends what work we're in, you know. There's so much authority that we are confronted with in our society today. And it's a challenge that even the little decisions we have to make with them, what's our response? What's the purpose of our choices? What direction is it taking us? So, again, just like with Esau there, it had far-reaching effects. I had to think of Ruth also. And we know the story of Ruth there. That she made a decision. It would have been so easy to go back to her homeland. But she wanted to serve the God of her mother-in-law. And she made a decision there. And it had far-reaching effects for many generations. She's actually in the line of the Messiah, the Savior of Jesus Christ. And just that decision she made there in one day, I'm sure she meditated a lot and thought about it, but it was likely within an hour or two she made that decision that she was not going to return. She had the opportunity when Naomi challenged her, you might as well go home. But she purposed in her heart to follow God and the long-term results of it. And then we think of Lot and his wife and family. You know, he made a decision there too. And at the moment, it seemed the wisest thing to do. This was way better farmland. Wouldn't have to work as hard. You could prosper more and provide more for your children. And it looked like such an easy decision. But he didn't consider. He didn't take counsel. And It led him worldward, towards the world. And we know that he lost his family. He lost all his possessions, even in this life. He lost it all. And what a sad story that was. Hebrews 11 is a list of whole. Again, these are that great cloud of witnesses that's written there for our encouragement, our admonition. Men and women that live by faith. And we know the story of some of those, like Enoch and Noah. And I thought a bit about Noah lately. You know, it seems so foolish. We can't imagine what it'd be like to be Noah, doing something so ridiculous and spending his whole life almost, the most of his life, building this boat, this ark, and suffer misunderstanding and reproach. And yet, God blessed his choices in a eternal way. And but in Hebrews 11 there, it has Moses again. It says, by faith Moses, when he's come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather, he chose to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And just amazing that decision that Moses made. And what if he had thought, well, he could serve God in Egypt too. He could still fear God and worship God. But no, he refused all those natural blessings, those comforts of life that were in Egypt for him. He could have great riches and much ease, so many things in life. But he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. He's willing to identify with the people of God, and because he had an eternal vision. And may God help us to have that, to look beyond the choice, to see the end of it. And it's by faith we can't even see the end of it or fully understand it, but it's just by faith we, it goes on there too about those that declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return, but now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. So, by faith, they looked for something better. They didn't put their confidence in the things of this world, the country that they were part of. So, I'm not going to do it, but I actually went all through. We've talked a bit about Ezra and Nehemiah lately, and I just went through the book of Ezra and Nehemiah with that in that perspective of the choices that were made there. And the leaders there, like Ezra and Nehemiah, they both made choices. And then there's the princes and leaders, there's the fathers, and then all the people. And it's amazing, all the response and the choices that they made there, and how it brought God's blessing, how it brought revival. And it cost them. There was a lot of things that they had to cast off and turn from. They had to give up some of their wives, their strange wives, and cut those things off. There's a lot of cost in some of the choices they made, but God blessed them for it. And so it is in our hearts and lives. You know, we need to take heed. We need to consider, as Proverbs says, ponder the path of your feet. Consider where we're at and where it might lead to. And even the little decisions of life, as I say, it might hardly matter, some of the little things we make, and yet it makes us more comfortable maybe in that direction. And it sets a direction, a course of life. So may we strive for that straight and narrow way, seek after holiness and righteousness and truth, and not to have the praise of men, but to seek the praise of God, to even our reputation, to be willing to lay that down and to follow the ways of God. So So may God give us wisdom and courage and discernment to choose not only for our good, but for our children, for our little ones, those that we're responsible for. So may God take His word and may it minister to each one of our hearts and lives, whatever our need is, whatever choices we might face this week. We all have different choices, and may God help us to be overcomers, to choose wisely, to choose right. So may God bless His word.